Reminds me, actually, I don't know if I can make the application, so please someone jump in. But it reminds me later in chapter 5 of Ephesians, speaking about the husband-wife relationship, when it talks about, but I think the principle's there, but correct me, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, right? And, you know, if we consider ourselves as the one body of Christ, right, how are we going to treat that? And that kind of relates back to the verse that we were just looking at.
Any comments before we move on? Because we're now going to move into a section where there are a series of things, some of which we're not going to spend too much time on, but I just want to at least, there are a series of things. Any comments before we move on?
Just one comment. The contrast of old and new is a very stark contrast. And one of the stark contrasts, if you pick it up in verse 18, it is before conversion, before we're saved, before we've been blessed by God to be placed into this wonderful place of favor, we were alienated from God, alienated from the life of God. And so the contrast is so stark that if I slip back into it, I am not, no matter how many words I use and how much I profusely confess, we're acting for God or we want God's best interest. It's when it's driven by this selfish desire and it's driven by this mindset that is outlined here. It's a mindset that's devoid of the reality of the life of God. What we have in Christ is the life was manifested. This is the way God is, and we have been created in true righteousness and holiness. And so the contrast is day and night. It's stark, and we have to really be very careful and very aware that when we allow us to slip back into the old ways, we've really made a major leap.
Okay, so as we move on, one of the things that jumps out here, and I want to be very practical, very practical. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Obviously, we're talking about the sneers of unity. The reality is, folks, and I'm just being honest with you, when we live together as human beings, there is no way that you and I are going to live together with people and at some point, somebody is not going to offend you or you are not going to offend somebody. I'm not saying we don't deliberately do it, but things are going to happen. And if we do get angry, anger and sin seem to be different. It's not the same thing. Anger can lead to sin, but it doesn't have to. And one thing that jumps out to me is a couple things here. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That principle, to me, and others can comment on this, it means, yes, something can happen, but let's deal with it as quickly as possible. Don't let it fester. This is very practical. Don't let things fester and fester and fester. Again, within the assembly context, same thing. Don't let it fester. Something happens, let's deal with it. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And another thing, again, I don't want to go verse by verse, but don't give place to the devil. Don't let the devil put the thin edge of the wedge, as it were, in. Sometimes we open up ourselves. We allow him to come in and then just split us apart. This is real practical things that we need. And we need the grace of God. We need to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus to get the grace we need. So that, you know, when somebody makes me angry, I need grace to deal with it and not take it with me day by day, month by month, year by year. That's what happens, to be honest with you.
I'm just looking at this series of verses here. This is something that my attention has been drawn to for years now because I think that there is, unfortunately, that combination of the two of sin and anger. And it's wonderful to see that, you know, there are these instances that are going to come up and we will get angry about these things. You know, impulsively, we don't want to react. We want to be able to, you know, give some time to these things and then have a reaction. And then when I look at the second part of the verse, I see, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I think about this in relation to love. And one of the characteristics that we see of love in the love chapter is love keeps no record of wrong. And one of the things that I found in my lifetime is that there are certain instances where maybe a wrong thing has come up in the past, and we seem to forget every single wonderful thing that a person has done because that one little thing just happens to just stick out in our minds, and we obsess over it. And sometimes we do, unfortunately, keep a record of these things. And we do really need to be guarded against this. You know, we need to have a forgiving mind, understanding the grace that's been given to us.
The reference that you just had, I had written down that too, that not every translation has that phrase. So I just want to point out it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. The King James just says, thinks no evil. But the thinking part seems to be, as you've said, kind of keeping an inventory. And as we look at the passage here in Ephesians 4, I'd like to just, because we... Already see that it's 2 o'clock. I'd like to just continue moving on and just give a little overview of these verses so that we can consider how these are snares. I mean, we all would say, sure, these are bad characteristics. We don't want to act this way. But in our specific context, we're talking about how these are snares against unity. And no doubt we could add some other references, and our contributions can be in this direction. Why are these things so problematic if we're desiring to see unity supplied and strengthened? What do these things do? When they come up in me, what have I done? Not just that I'm behaving badly. What have I done to mar the fabric of unity that God has intended there to be? And we might also say, what can be done if these things are seen elsewhere among us, among our local settings perhaps, or between believers that we know, and is there a way to be helpful in these circumstances? So just kind of looking at these verses, we already mentioned falsehood. Falsehood is going to mar unity. Improper anger, sinful anger. Verse 28, theft, which implies a selfish focus on my needs and the ignorance of somebody else's needs. Bad speaking, verse 29, corrupt words, corrupt speech, bad communication that doesn't edify. Verse 31, bitterness, wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking, malice. What are these things? And then, of course, we don't want to leave out the lovely characteristics that instead will continue to be part of that supply. Verse 32, about kindness and tender-heartedness, forgiveness, love, in chapter 5, verse 2. These are the proper behaviors that will supply unity. But as our theme is especially these snares against unity, what is it that does brings such ruin to the unity of believers if I allow these things to be part of my life, or if I experience them coming towards me? And what do I do in that case?